We're up to Daf Mem Gimel Amud Aleph, second line from the top. Basically, we have an argument, Rabbanan, Rab Shimon, Rabbanan considered when you deny, or somebody comes and claims that you raped my daughter, seduced my daughter, that it's primarily a case of money, and according to, because Baishas Pagam, and according to Rab Shimon, it's primarily a case of Knas, and so on. And Moedim of Knas, Pot, and so on. Says the Gemara, Well, the Michael, what's the argument? Why does he hold if you focus on the Knas and he holds we focus on the Bais of Gam? Omer Rab Papa, Papa says, Rab Shimon. Was there a guy getting another chair there or something? Maybe he's got a bench. Oh. Any more chairs behind you? Right behind you. There's a fourth Gemara. There's a Gemara as well. Okay. We're on Mem Gimel Amud Aleph, four lines on the top. Amud Aleph Papa says that Shimon holds that a person will focus on the knas. You know why? Because Shavik Inish Midi the Kayet. You have a payment here that's so easy because it's already fixed. The fifty shkolim. So why would he leave that behind? But forego that. But tova midi lekayis and sit and discuss mainly the boishes begam, the shame and the stigma. And the shame of the stigma, it's not quantifiable. Yeah, I would say it's not yet quantified. You have to go and work it out, sort it out. It takes a long process. So the easiest thing for him to focus on is a knas. That's what his claim is. However, Rabbanah have no. Loi shavik inish midi. Nobody will leave behind something. Why would you focus on a knas? All you do is turn around. And you admit, yes, it happened. And what did we learn before? That if you admit to a penalty, then you don't have to pay it because you've shown us already that you did tshuva. The tova midichi moedim and miftin, and he would. And why would he forego the boishah pagam that even if he admits to it, he still has to pay it, rather than talk about the money things? Okay, comes on my other question, and it follows five lines from the top. Boyi menei rabavina rav sheisha rabavina came along as a sheisha. Interesting question. Bas hanizoynis mino achin. The din is that the brothers are the one who inherit the father's estate, not the girl. But what happens if the girl's not old enough yet? So the brothers from the estate have to support her. Why the father supported his daughter? Anything that she earns and anything that she finds goes to the father. What about the brothers take over now in the father's position? What's the thing with the brothers? Do we say, well, the brothers look like the fathers. Now that they feed her, all her earnings go to them. Or do we say they're not giving her out of the goodness of their heart? That's part of the ksuvah that the father made a deal with her mother, that I'll take care of your daughters, and so on growing up. So therefore, it's still an obligation of the father, not an obligation of the children, so they not an inherent obligation, so they have no rights to her earnings. So boyim b'meinei ravinim b'lavat, Rav Sheisha says, bas hanizayin is menachem, a girl who is being fed from her brothers. Maase, being provided for by brothers. Maase, yedeh, her earnings, lemi. Who ends up with her earnings? Do we say, b'mokam of kaim? Do we say the brothers took over the substitute for the fathers? Is ma'hosa ma'is yedelach? Look over there. Her earnings are her fathers. Hachanam here too, ma'is yedelach, and her earnings are her brothers. Oydum, perhaps. Loy domi. You can't compare law of the father. Hosa medidei mizanya. Over there, the father gave from his own money. Hachalav medidhu mizanya. It's not from their own money. This is not part of their earnings. This is of their estate. This is the father's estate, part of it reserved for the daughter. Nothing to do with them. So why should they receive the earnings? Amalei said, Rabsheisha's answer, Tinesua, I'll compare it to a case of an almana. Very similar situation, an almana, because man, she didn't remarry. The din is that she can get provided for by the estate. Almana, nizoynis, and come on, she didn't get a ksuba. She's provided for by the state up to 25 years. Almana, nizoynis, she can be fed, menichse yisaymim, from the estate, the asset, the estate of the yisaymim. But what happens to her earnings then? The earnings go to your orphans. So what do we see? That the orphans are substitutes or take over the parents. And therefore, just like the parents are entitled to her earnings, so to the orphans. So just like by widow, we say that. And because you provide for her, the same thing by the daughters. So what are you, Rav Sheisha, saying that by the daughter? She ends up keeping her own earnings? No, it's not. Why should she be different than Amman? That's the question that they ask to Rav Sheisha. Says the Gemara. So that's what Sheisha's answers. Just like an almana, ends up with the children here too. So he asked back. Abavina asked him back. Me dummy, how can you compare a daughter to a case of a widow? Almana, so his widow, lenichle bahavocha. With his widow, the father doesn't want that the widow should gain both ways, to be provided for by the state, and she should earn her own earnings. He wants to take care of his own children as well. So therefore, he makes her pay. Basically, if she wants to be provided for, she has to give over her earnings to the children. of a bitay, when it comes to his daughter, the father generally doesn't mind if a daughter makes money at both ends, gets fed from the estate, and she earns her own money. In fact, she earns her own money, people will look after her and try to mishadach her, because she's a woman that has that has an earning capacity as well. Nichalei bahavacha. He'd rather have her benefit from as well, so why should the money end up with the sons? Why are her sons more important than the daughter? Okay, so therefore we're arguing objections.
Really, the question is really, when the father is feeding the daughter, is it feeding because he feels this is my child, or he's feeding because he's got an obligation to the mother, and it's really your child is going to be fed after I die?
Okay, but then it's his daughter as well.
Yeah.
And versus his sons, you're comparing sons and daughters. So why do you want to protect your sons more than your daughter? Fakat, a daughter needs to find a shidduch. It's much harder to find a shidduch. So therefore, you want, if she earns money and she's able to, whatever, take care of herself, have a better name for herself, he'd rather her have that. He still feels achrayis. Says the Gemara, the members, what are you telling us? The bit adif lemamlas. You're telling us that, wow, a person cares about his daughter more than his widow. Let me ask you a question. I can find you, I'll prove you from another halacha, all the way around, if I care that a widow is more important, we got to take care of more than the daughter. Where do we see that? Rabbi said, Rabbi Yaisi, Osu almona etzel habas. The din is that if there's an estate, it goes to the sons and the daughters get fed. What about if there's a very small estate? Then the sons get nothing and it all goes to the daughter. Because the sons can go around collecting money rather than the daughter. Because it's not suitable for a daughter to go, appropriate for a daughter to go knocking on doors. So we say when it comes to, let's say, a very little money is only a widow and daughters, then we say that the money goes to the widow and let the daughter go knocking on the doors. So what do we see from here when you put the two together? We contrast the widow and the daughter. Who does he care more about? Who is he more sympathetic with? With the widow. So if the widow he's more sympathetic with, yet he say any earning she has goes to the children, to orphans, so surely the daughter, any earning she has, she goes to orphans. Ask the Gemara. Also, almana etzal ba, we treat the widow in contrast to the daughter, kibas etzal achin, like a daughter with the brothers. When you have very few assets, mahabas etzal achin, we have brothers, and they're entitled to the state, yet it's very little. Habas nezenis, ba'achin yishal absochim, the daughter is the one who gets fed, and the brothers have to go knocking on the doors. Af almana etzal bas, we have a widow and daughters. Almana nezenis, the widow is the one who gets provided, and ba'habas tishal absochim, the daughter goes collecting. So what does it show here? That we treat the widow better than we treat the daughter? Just the opposite of what Rabbi Sheshi said. So the Rabbi Sheshi said, what are you comparing the two events? Le'in yizelusa, where is the shame greater? When an older woman has to go knocking on the doors begging, or when young kids go knocking? Le'in yizelusa, when it comes to the shame that's involved, al monosay adifalei. Yeah, because the shame for her will be far greater than the shame for young kids going around. So therefore, the father has a husband as Achmanis and says, let her keep the thing.
How many old guys you get coming collecting?
Yeah, well, the kids for them is fun. The inyan havacha, when it comes to.
Because the young ones can't say, ich mach as not 13 kids.
They can learn that,
so the old ones can't hop in and out of a van, so the young ones.
Le'inyan havacha, when it comes to earnings, bite adifale, when it comes to earnings, Bitoy adifale. When it comes to earning, the daughter is better. He said, I'd rather my daughter earn extra money because she needs a shidduch. The widow doesn't need a shidduch. She just needs room and board. She has it. So what does she need money for as well? So therefore, Rav Sheshit insists that the daughter's money, earnings, end up with herself. Mosiv Rabbi Yisiv asked a question. Rav Sheshit, it says in the Mishnah, Ma'aseh Yodehar. That her masa yedeh, the top of the page I said there before, that her earnings, or mitziyos, anything she finds, afa pishalai gofsa, even though she didn't collect it yet, even though she didn't take it yet, as soon as she earns it, it belongs to the father, and therefore masa of the father died, it's part of the estate, hadehen shel achim, it goes to the brother. So it seems from here as follows. Taima, the only reason, the bechayeh of, the only reason is while the father's alive. Therefore, it goes to the brothers. Ho la'acham misses of, after the father died, la'atzma, it goes to herself. My love, what are we talking about over here? Bin Zainis. We're talking about over here that she gets fed. And still, yeah, it's like that. She ends up, yeah, it goes to her. You wanted to say it's like an almana that it ends up with the brothers. Clearly, my mission here, only because the father's alive, it ends up with the brothers. If the father would have been dead, it ends up with herself. Kasha of Sheshis. So Sheshis, what's a kasha? Lo, it's not my mishnah. Ain't a zaynus. is talking about over here, which they didn't feed. If they didn't feed her, then she has to earn money to make a living. But if they did feed her, the fetish, the money goes to the brothers. But I'm just talking about if they didn't feed her. And even if they didn't feed her, the father gets the money and goes to the brothers. Freddy Gimori Ibisha ain't don't get fed, my remember what possible chiddush is there here. While they're alive, the father has a right to not feed the daughter up to him, but he gets her earnings. And then he yashes it, it goes to his brothers. If the father is dead, of course the brother shouldn't get it. Why should they? They don't own her. I feel the man, even that, according to that opinion, that if the father's dead, you to say the brother don't get it, we don't need it, it's not chiddush at all. Because even the opinion says, Yachol, a Rav, a master is allowed to say, we'll see later in the morning, is allowed to say to an eved, is allowed to say to a slave. I say, imi vein zonach, I will work for me, but I'm not going to feed you because you own him. Hani mi lebekna goy. Like sibe, it doesn't say over the imcha that you have to take care of them. But I will ever divri sibe, but ever divri where it says over here, me imach. It says over there that you have to kitoiv le imach. You have to be, has to be good with you. You have to take care of him. Then like koshkein bita, so no, you have no right to say that. Koshkein bita, daughter, you have no right to say that. So why would you think that the brothers, why would you think the brothers have a right to her earnings if the brothers don't feed her? So what possible chiddush can there be? So it's a kashan of sheishes. What's pshat in our Mishnah? L'cheide, the only purpose of our Mishnah is to teach you exactly the opposite of what you're saying. That if the father died, the brothers are not entitled, and it goes to the girl. Not even though they feed her, they end up with the earnings because harvach the father wants her to get. Not like you said. And not like Baal Mona. Amar Rabbi Rabula answer, Lenizchala Dofa. No Kasha. Maybe the Chiddush of the Mishnah is talking about what? We're talking about that that after the father died, the earnings taka go to her. And it's talking about he wasn't fed. Ah, you tell me if it wasn't fed, how will she live? I mean, why would you even think that the brothers end up? Yeah. We're talking about the that which has over and above what she needs to live. Obviously, what she needs to live is hers. What about the hadafa, the over and above? Do the brothers get that or not? That's the chiddush that even that the brothers are not entitled to. But we're talking about a case where they weren't fed, so it's not a kashan of sheishes. He's talking about a case where the brothers are feeding her. If they're feeding her, they're entitled to get her earnings. Omar Rava says Rava. Gavra Rabbi Kerab Yosef, such a great man like yesterday. We learned Rabbi Yosef and Rabbi, they were great people. Lo Yoda, he couldn't figure that out himself. What was the question? He couldn't figure out the Adafa. He couldn't figure out maybe he was talking about a case that was not being fed and talking about the case of Adafa, the excess. Ukamayisif to you, obviously still asking a question. He knew all that. You totally misunderstood his question. They even come up with a smart answer and you think you're smart. I'll tell you exactly what Rabbi Yosef was asking. El Marab Rabbi Yosef, Maslisi Guvikashle, he's bothered with the mission itself. Let's forget the diuk. Look at the wording of the Mishnah. Tani, the Mishnah says, what goes to the father? It says, ma'asa yedeha, her earnings, as soon as she earns it, even though she didn't collect it yet. Umitziyasa, what do you mean as soon as she earned it? Before she collected. Collected from who? You find a lost object, there's no who. The moment you picked it up, that's it. There's nothing else that's supposed to happen afterwards. So what's pshat in the Mishnah? Well, how does Mitziyah get in here? Afa pishalagavsa mitziyasa. Meman gavya. The Mitziyah, who is she collecting from? Ela lav hakam. Isn't this what the Mishnah is trying to say? Ma'ase yedel ki mitziyasa, her activities are just like her mitziyah. Ma mitziyasa b'chai he'ov l'ov, just like when it comes to her findings, even when the father's alive, who ends up with it? The father. But la'acha mitziyasa, after the father died, who ends up when she finds something? Whose is it? It's hers. La'atzma, the same thing. Af ma'ase yedel nami, the same thing with her earnings. B'chai he'ov, when the father's alive, l'ov. Of la'acha mitziyasa, la'atzma. Kasher of sheishes. Shmami knows a good raya that was any earnings that she makes, she earns it. Not like if she just goes to the father. Eat manama, we talk learned. Basan is not even achin. A girl gets fed from her brothers. Masi the last one. Her earnings go to herself. Not like of sheishes. Omer of kana my timer. What's taka the svara dechsiv? It says in pasuk, who do you have a right to pass on to your children? Only slaves. These nachaltim oysam live nechem nechem. Your slaves you can pass on to your children. Oysam live nechem. Or the slaves you can pass on to your children. Abavalei b'nei seichelim nechem. You can't pass on your rights and your daughters to your children. Magid she ain't other moedus chus biti libnai. So even though your children have to feed her, but they don't get her earning. They don't have any rights of a father. Or not like Rav Sheishes.
Marry her off as well.
No, they can't. Or mirabbanon. Lam ha'teira. Remember, Matayda, just me. Yeah. No, she can't really. They're just doing to help her out. She doesn't like it, just walks out. Maskiv lo Rabba. So Rabba asked the question, why can't we say? So here Rabbi Yisrael and Rabba had turns. Why can't we say that be pitei habas uknosses v'chabolos hakosim medaber. This pasuk of ishachaltim that you're passing on to as avodi, you pass on to your children, and you don't pass on to this to your children. Maybe we're talking about that they're talking about things like knas, not the earnings of the daughter. You decided to talk about also earnings. Anything she earns stays with, remains with the daughter, does not go to the father. How do you know? Maybe he's talking about cases like pitei habas, he salutes the daughter, that penalty, or knosses, or other knosses, v'chavolos, or she gets beaten up, all those payments. Maybe that's what ends up hakotze b'dabe. That, we say, goes to the daughter, because she's the one who got hurt. She was a ma'ana. But when it comes to earnings, maybe that does go to the children. You can't bring it out from this pasuk here. The chain tanit abchinin. Abchinin actually learned this way. He, and I found a tanit who learns that bepite habas uknosas bechavu medaber, which is like an avsheshes. But when it comes to earnings, who ends up with it? The brothers, says the Gemara. And the reason is chavolat sara de gufaninu. Pedi Gemara, how can you even think that the pasuk is coming to infer that when it comes to chabalos, it doesn't pass on to the children? Chabalos, the father is never entitled to, because chabalos, when somebody hurts her, she's in pain. And if she's in pain, who gets the money? She does. But harai, that even the father is the one who did the chabalos to her, he still has to pay her. So chabalos was always hers, even when the father's alive. How can you tell me the pasuk is coming to tell you that if the father died, you pass on to your children, your avodim, but not the chabalos of your daughter? The father had never had access to the chabalos of his daughter that he should even be able to pass it on. So what are you saying here? L'cheda is coming to tell us here about the earnings and the kasha of sheishes. So Moses said, no, that's not a problem. Omer Rabbi Yisrael Chanina, Rabbi Yisrael Chanina said, shepotza b'fanea. Sometimes chabola is entitled to the father, and that's what the pasuk is telling you, does not go to the children. But earnings do go to the children. What's that? If you punched her in the face and now she has a black eye and she has a bloody nose and her face looks a little contorted, so now suddenly her shidduch chances or prospects have been reduced, and that affects the father because he has a right to the shidduch. He's been devalued. So we have two opinions here. We have Rav Sheishes and we have Rav Chanina. This is very interesting. The first version is Amar Rav Zeda, Amar Rav Masna Amar Rav. The other version is Amar Rebbe Zeda, Amar Rav Masna Amar Rav. What's the difference? Oh, look at this Rashi here. Very interesting Rashi. Exactly what Yimi said. Amar Rav Zeda, Amar Rav Zeda. Who Rav Zeda? Who Rebbe Zeda? Who Rav Zeda? This is a rule throughout Chas. What's the difference when you call somebody Rebbe? You call somebody Rav. The Bavel in Bavel Mekam made this solid reality. So we learn in the Ksuvah Rav Zeda went to Yisrael. He forgot everything he learned in Bavel. Before he went to Yisrael, he was in Bavel. Mekam made the Rav Yechon. Before he went to learn Rav Yechonan, the ain't smicha be Bavel. In Bavel, there's no smicha. Have a korelei Rav, like in Yiddish, Reb. But once you get it to Yisrael, you receive smicha. You call it Rebbe. So the Hosh might in this din, equal amount of Amr. One opinion says Mekam made this some chuv Amr. He said it while he was still in Bavel when he was Rav. And the Ikul Man Dama busted the Samchu Amru afterwards when he became Rebbe. And this is throughout Shas. When you say Rav, he knows Bavel, Rebbe is Eretz Yisrael.
Yeah, but there was also
a couple exceptions, yeah. Okay. What did he say? Bas Hanizayim Lachem, a girl got fed from her brother's Masi Yedeh, last but she gets to keep her own wing. Not like Rav Sheishes, Rav argues the Chsiv, says the Chaltam Ma'is Vanech, we're using the Drosh of Rav Chanina, we're dashing everything, only an ever can be passed on to children, anything about your daughter does not go to the children. Magi Chein Odom, Ma'is Chuzabit, you cannot pass on the Chus of your daughter to your son. Amalei Avi, my bar puppy, not only did Rav say this, but Shkoid, the diligent one, Amra said it as well. Shkoid Manu, who is this diligent one you're referring to? Shmuel. Shmuel, because Shmuel is very much pushed. Rashi says Shmuel have a kardle shkoid. Al shum the hilchas a kavasi bedine. The halach is like Shmuel when it comes to din. Rav by Isa Shmuel bedin. V'shaked al dvarav. You're diligent in his words. Lo imran kiel chasat, to make sure he says it right, because he knew the halach of when it comes to dine. So he worked extra hard to make sure it's right. Freddy Gemara Amar Ma Harav or Moni Shkoid said it. Rav said it. Ema Avshkar Amar. Both Rav and Shmuel agree with this. Now what the money ends up with the daughter. He said, the money ends up with the brothers. Ravashi, I disagree. Rav, and the Gemara concludes, halacha is like Rav. I want that the money ends up with the daughter. Says the Mishnah Vayter, Hama'ares es bitay. If somebody gets a daughter engaged, the Girshim, before they consummated the marriage, she was divorced, so she's still under her father's. rains, then Yisra, she got engaged a second time, and his Amla again from the engagement got widowed, still under the father's reins. Ksuvasa Shalad, Ksuva ends up with the father. What about Hesia? He married her off and she consummated the marriage, then Vigisha was divorced. After that, she's no longer the father's. Hesia married a second time in his Amla and then became widowed. Ksuvasa Shalad, now she's independent, the Ksuva's hers. Rabbi Yehuda says, if you don't remember, Harishayne Shalav. Rabbi Yehuda says, even in the first case, once he consummated the marriage and then the husband dies, the father lost already his rights. Sorry, the first one. Since according to the Tanakhama, she got married and consummated the marriage, she's now independent. So anything happens afterwards is hers. According to Rabbi Yehuda, the first marriage, he says, when was she entitled to the ksuva? Yeah, when was she entitled to the ksuva? So they got engaged, even though they didn't write it until later. Because they were entitled, as soon as she got engaged, and the father then controlled her. So the ksuva belongs to the father. Even though they got married and consummated everything else, as long as she, as it happens before, while the child is still a ketana or an ida, the father ends up the ksuva, but not the second one. How do you shine the shalav? Amalekham said, what do you mean? Once he divorced, once she got married, there's no connection to the father. So we'll see what machlekes is. The first thing Mara says, why in the first case do you change? First you say that we divorced and then widowed. Why don't you just say both of them? You got widowed twice. Time with the Siva Gish, you got married and got divorced, Siva and Samla, and got married and widowed. Avonis Amla, Tezimna, so. But the reason why the Mishnah doesn't mention the case, we got widowed twice, so the Chazin and Subib, because they can't ever get married again. Why not? Because we had in Mari Vamas an argument, if a woman, her husband dies twice, unnatural deaths, is she a Katlonis? Is she a serial murderer? And therefore you should never marry again, or not? Is it two times or three times? That's the whole story. How Abai said, that doesn't bother me, and then he died young. He died before Rav did. And the Al Mishnah wants to teach us that he follows the opinion of Rebbe. That was Rabba. Abai was 60 years old because he learned Torah and Gemilut Chasadim. But he still died because he married this woman. If he wouldn't have done that, he would have lived longer. Twice is already Chazak, only three times. Okay, if you don't remember, the first one, why the first one, the father, Lucheda, she got married totally. My time, Rabbi Yehuda, Rabba and Rabbi Yehuda, Damat Tavayu, Rabba and Rabbi Yehuda both said together, Hoyel sins, Omishas, Eidus in Zachem, as soon as he got engaged, she's already entitled to Aksuv, even though you might not have written one, the Tanai Bez and Maisa Bez, and you're entitled to Aksuv, and that time the father was in control. If he would have been divorced tomorrow, the father would have received it. So even though he got married and so on and so forth, the father never loses his right.
The Pasuk says when the Moitzi Shemra,
yeah.
Because
Leimot Tzatzim
is after
Nisui. Yeah. And
yet besides the father's one who has.
That's a Taylor, it's a Kiddush. Remember, he's a Knas, he can't bring a Raya. So the Gemara says, "Masiv Rav Rabba." As a question, Rabbi Yehuda, says, "Harishayne shall Rabbi Yehuda says that it goes to the father, but the Braisa adds a bit. Umayde Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda admits, however, the Ma'ariv says, "Bitei kishiktana." If you got your daughter engaged when she was young, ubagra, she became an adult. Once she becomes an adult, she's independent. The Acher Kach Nisas, even though she got married afterwards, she ain't la'avirish. The father loses his rights because now she's a bageris. Now, Lochelet, if your Vart is right, that as soon as they got engaged, the Ksuva already became the father, so what if she became an adult afterwards? The Ksuva is already the father's. Amai, why? Hachinami over here too lame, let's say, Hoyul Mashas, Eidis and Zochem and Zeche. So what's your Svar? El Yidma Hachidma. Rabbi Rabbi Yisrael Dhamma Tavayu. Rabbi Rabbi Yisrael will say. So the first thing Gemara thought, they actually wrote a Ksuva. So now the Gemara is saying, no. Hoyul of Shusai Nichtevin. No, the first one is, as soon as they got engaged, they were entitled to Ksuva. So we asked the question, so the Ma'af community came to Begeris later. But now we're answering that they wrote the Ksuva when she was still, before she got married. And while she was still young. So therefore, the father was Zeicher when they wrote the Ksuva. Uvashusai Nichtevin. They wrote it when it is a Shus. However, if she became an adult before the Nesuyin, when do you write the Ksuva? The day of the marriage, the day of the chuppah, you write the ksuva. So in the first case, she got married when she was still a ketana, so they wrote the ksuva when she was still a ketana, but he wrote it before the nesuyin, so the father had a right to it. In this case, in the brayse over here, it says here that that he got engaged, she became an adult, and then she got married. So when they wrote the ksuva, she was already an adult. The father has no shaykhs to it. That's the difference. Tell you more about it. So we're saying now, it's nothing to do with Eretz, it's to do when you wrote the Ksuva. So the question is, now that you wrote the Ksuva, let's say right next to the Suyin, when do you collect the Ksuva from? Because the fact of the matter is, you're chayiv a Ksuva the moment you got engaged. Not everyone agrees. Rabbi Yehuda says that the Ksuva starts right before the Nesuyin and so on. But when do you start collecting? For example, A ksuva takes from karkois. If he sold any properties after they got married, or after he got engaged, after the ksuva, if he sold it, if he has no money left when he dies, she has the right to go to these purchases and collect it. What about all the properties he sold between the engagement and the writing, and a year later when they got married? Since
can she be
koyv ksuva? Do we say that even though it was written a year later, but since the halacha of ksuva takes effect from the moment they got engaged, therefore it's retroactive back to the time she got engaged, you collect it or not? That's the question. When does she collect? It's like this. Mona Masayim, her entitlements, if she's a widow, $100, if she's a psula, $200, minatis, from the moment they got engaged. The Tosefis, but anything you add on, that you're not chayv, you did it yourself. That starts from the moment you wrote it in the ksuva, not any earlier. Min hanasuim, when you got married. However, but Rav Asi says no. No, the moment you wrote the shtar, it's as if you're canceling out any of these chayvs than before, and you only collect from the moment the ksuva was written, not before. Freddie Gimorumi Omar Abhuna Hochi did Abhuna say that the essence of the ksuva you collect from the moment you got engaged, and the Tosefis you collect afterwards. Vaidma, didn't we learn? Haitziya Allah Shtei Ksuva is the guy, the father, this the husband first wrote a ksuva as soon as they got engaged. Her entitlement, the $200, and then he wrote another ksuva the day of the marriage, and he added some more. So there's a total of $300. No, the $200 that I owe you, plus I'm adding another $100. Achasha, so he made a total of 300. Achasha, so she produces now two ksuvas. Which one does she use? Achasha Masayim, Achasha Shalosh Meis. What happens now? Omar Avuna says her choice. She cannot use both. You want to use the first one, then there is no second one. You want the second one, then it eclipses the first one. But Basa Lik Beis Masayim, she wants to use a ksuva of $200. Goiva. Then, but from what date? Ms. Maharishi knows, it's up to her. She has an advantage using the smaller, the reduced amount of the ksuva, but it's an earlier date. So if this guy is in poor straits and he sold properties after he got engaged, she can use the ksuva to collect, but she only gets $200. If she's greedy and she wants the $300, she can only collect from the $300 and onwards, and maybe there's no properties out there. So she has to choose, gets her accountant involved and work out what to do. Goyvim is man rishin, shalosh meyiz, goyvim is man sheni. Or she could take 300 for the second time. Now, according to Rav Hunu, who said the 200 she's entitled to from the moment they got engaged. It's only the addition, the misa, tigbim mazayim is man rishin. Why does Rav Hunu say the 200 she collects from the first time? Or meyiz is man sheni. There's no contradiction. And the 200 she's entitled from the moment they got engaged. And the 100, because in other words, Rav Hunu said that even the second document, who said before that even the second document was written a year later, the 200 there, the chiv doesn't start from the moment you wrote it, starts from the moment the bezin said you owe it a year ago. So tear up the first document, shred the first document, use only the second document, but nevertheless the 200 is retrospective from the time that she got engaged, and she can collect those properties for 200, and the 300 is from that moment onwards. You know they're engaged, and the Maisa exactly, Bezin. Yeah, everyone knows.
Exactly. So therefore, the moment she got engaged, everybody knows.
Exactly. But knowing alone is not enough to make her entitled. She has no shtar for it. That's the question. Now that you write a new shtar, does it cancel? It's like she's Meichel. When you write a new shtar before, there's no shtar. It's like you're Meichel. Anything you owe me before, forget about it. This is something new. We're starting again from scratch. Ripping up the old shtar, and we're starting a new thing or not. Says the Gemara, will time make? Let me ask you, why don't you ask a better question? You should ask chamish meyas. You should collect 500. The 200 she had initially, she's entitled to, and now he writes 300. It should be 500 in total. The saim is man rishon, last meyas is man sheni. Why doesn't she get 200 on the original date and 300 now? Elon of us, chamish meyas, you'll concede. Why doesn't she collect 500? My time of legavia. Kivin le kosla, he didn't write in the start, so visi va'isivit lach t'las meyas. He didn't write, so visi, I desired, I agreed, in other words, whatever I owe you before, plus, this I said, every start said, tovilach, and sifin lach. And I'll add another 300. That would have spelled out 300 plus 200 is 500. Don't say that. That's why you're saying that this second start canceled the first one. Nu amasayim on the first one. Hachi kamala. So this is what he, therefore, because the way he wrote the shtar, I'm giving you just 300 sachakol. So what's he telling her? He said, look, I'm giving you a choice. If you want to collect back from the time you got engaged, masayim, only you'll tie the $200. But im is man sheni, if you're happy to collect from now, then giviyah gaviyah tlasmei, you're collecting $300. It's your choice. So hachanam here too. Over here also, you know why you don't collect the 200 from the first time? You asked 200 the first time, 100 the first time. Because you didn't say I'm adding, it's as if you're saying this is a new shtar. You choose the second one, you're meichel me the first one. Says if you're saying I am meichel the first one, and that's why the choice is yours. So there's no kasha. Rabbi Yosef. Okay, stop picking tomorrow.